We've been talking about the millennial reign of Christ in particular. I don't think we're done with it. In fact, we could teach on it for months more. There's many scriptures to go through. And tonight we're going to talk about the five realms of the underworld. Five realms of the underworld. That's beneath us. And many people don't know about these things. They just believe that when we die, we go to heaven or hell. And as a whole, that's for the most part true. But there's more to the story in the Bible. And to start out, why don't we start out with Abraham's bosom? If you'll go on over to Luke chapter 16. I'm going to do this by the anointing of God. I have no notes. So we're just going to trust God. I trust that you're going to help me out and draw on the anointing. Amen. Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. The five realms of the underworld. We're also going to talk about who has to go there and why. In particular, hell. Who has to go to hell and after that, the lake of fire. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. So we got a rich man, we got a poor man. Evidently, it makes it very clear here that the rich man knew about the poor man. He was laid at his gate every day, which means that he passed him by and did not do what is right. Verse 22, the time came when the beggar died, and angels carried him to, everyone say, Abraham's bosom.
Abraham's bosom.
Let's just stop before we go any further and talk about this. Before Jesus, which is the last sacrifice under the Old Testament, died for humanity's sins, saints who died before Jesus had to go to a Old Testament type of heaven. It was called Abraham's bosom. But you may or may not recognize this or know this, but Abraham's bosom was actually located right next to hell. It was in the underrealm. It was not a place of torment like hell is. It was not a place of torture like hell is. It was not a place of fire, everlasting fire and suffering like hell is. But it was a place of comfort. And you'll see that as we go on. We'll make that very clear. It was not heaven itself. No one could enter into heaven until they've been born again. Jesus made that very clear. He said, no one has seen the Father. He also said, no one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. Jesus said that. So if Jesus said it, then we know that before Jesus' time, no one at that point had ever gone into heaven. Amen? But saints apparently went somewhere, and Luke 16 makes it very clear where they went. It's called Abraham's bosom. Let's take a look here and talk a little bit about it. It says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom, or Abraham's side, you could say. We call it Abraham's bosom for sake of teaching. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, everyone say in hell. Where he was in torment. Everyone say torment. So thus far, we understand that hell is a place of torment. If anybody, I don't think there's anybody in this room that has ever actually been tormented. You may have been tormented in your mind, but not physically tormented. He says he looked up, which means that he had eyes in hell, and saw, so we know he for sure has eyes. This rich man in hell had eyes because he looked up and he could see something. He saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger. Everyone say finger. So we know that in heaven, or in Abraham's bosom, the Old Testament type of heaven, that there are fingers in Abraham's bosom. We also know in hell that there's eyeballs so far. So there's a bunch of fingers in heaven and eyeballs in hell. Now, let's keep going and find out what other body parts there are. He said, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my, everyone say tongue. So we know in hell there's also tongues, there's eyeballs, there's tongues. And we know there's emotions because he says next, because I am in agony in this fire. So we know in hell is a place of torment, it is a place of agony. We know that in hell there are eyeballs and there are also tongues and there's emotions. And we know in heaven that there's fingers. Well, of course, you can just make the conclusion. It's very easy to see that all the body parts that you have here in this earth are also in hell and they're also in heaven. You see, your physical man, the different members of your body, your hands, your ears, your eyes, your nose, and all these things, they are all in both locations. He says this, but Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But he is now comforted here. So we know that wherever Lazarus was, this place called Abraham's bosom was not a place of torment, like he mentioned hell being. But it is a place of comfort. He said he's comforted here. He didn't say anything about any kind of suffering at all. He's comforted here, and you are in agony. So we know that hell is a place of agony. He mentions it twice. It's also a place of torment. It mentions torment once. And he says, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So we know that once the judgment is set, once we make it to either hell or we make it to heaven, that's final. You cannot cross over from one place to the other. There's a chasm between the two. So we want to make the right choices now because we're not going to be able to jump from hell over to heaven. We want to make the right choices now so that we make it into heaven, because after that, there's no other chance to make a choice to go to one or the other. You can see that plainly in Scripture here. A lot of people believe that when they're going to live their life out, they're going to live in deliberate sin. They believe that they're going to play around with the devil's toys and live in lusts and pleasures and have sex outside of marriage and drink and smoke and do drugs and all these evil things and cuss and swear and live like the world, and they believe that they're going to make it into heaven, or they believe at the end of the life somehow they're going to repent at the last minute and make it into heaven. But I'll tell you that the Bible says this. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction, it says. Destruction, that's hell. He says, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then he tells us not to grow weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, let us do good to all people, especially to those of the family of believers. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, don't be deceived. Don't think that you're going to, at the last minute of your life, repent, because you've already been sowing seeds towards destruction. And that harvest, that you may not see it yet, but those seeds that you've planted in your heart, those seeds you've planted under the ground are growing, and they will produce a crop. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear, and you will see that the harvest will come, and it will be hell if you're sowing seeds towards hell, which is sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, it says in Ezekiel 18:20, and a few times in Ezekiel 18, that the soul that sins shall die. The soul that sins shall die. That, you know, he also says in Hebrews 10:25 and 26, he said, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some get in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And then he gives us a strong warning about hell. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, that means you know you shouldn't do something. You know you shouldn't sleep around, have sex outside of marriage. You know you shouldn't, you know, do selfish acts like masturbation or drink and get drunk. You know you shouldn't smoke dope. You know you shouldn't cuss and swear. You know you shouldn't listen to that heavy metal music with all the Satan lyrics in it, nor the rap music with all the cursing and swearing and so on and so forth. You know you shouldn't do that, but you keep doing it anyways. That's called a deliberate sin. You know you shouldn't. Your conscience tells you. You may sear your conscience, and then after a while you feel like it's okay. That's because you've seared your conscience, the Bible says, as with a hot iron. Then eventually God just, he lets you go because he's not going to force you. He says this, here's a strong warning. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, that knows, it means you've had the choice, you knew you could get born again, you just keep on deliberately living in sin. You don't listen to the preacher, you don't listen to the Word of God, you don't care about it, it's not that important to you. You don't take it serious. He said, they dress the wound of my people as if it's not serious. God says the wound called sin is very serious. And Jeremiah 6, 13 and 14, and also he says it in chapter 8 again to make it very clear, it's a serious deal. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment. Doesn't sound good. Fearful expectation of judgment. I don't want to run around with a fear, expect to be fearfully judged. Amen. A fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. The enemies of God. Who's the enemy of God? Someone who keeps deliberately sinning. The Bible says, and then he continues on. I'll just continue before I go to these other scriptures brought to me. But he says this, to make it very clear, that's what he's talking about. He says, right in the next verse, he says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And then he says, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who's insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's all in your Bible. You might want to... So we don't want to live in deliberate sin. We want to make sure that we live a holy life. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So we do know this, that, listen very closely, just because we go to church does not mean we're going to make heaven. You see? Just because we read our Bible does not mean we'll make it in heaven. Just because we believe in God does not mean that anybody's going to go to heaven. The Bible says, you believe in one God, good, the demons believe and tremble. James 2:19. So the devil believes in God. It's not enough. The devil's not going to heaven. You see, he's going to a place called hell, which is eternal fire, and then the lake of fire. Reality of the matter, the realm of hell that he's going out, we'll be talking about tonight, but the realm of hell he's going to is actually not hell itself. It's called the bottomless pit is where the devil goes. He goes straight from the bottomless pit to the lake of fire. He doesn't go to hell itself. You may not know that. Now, he has access to different realms. So we don't want to live in deliberate sin, because the Bible says in 1 John 2:4 that the man who says, I know him, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in. And the Bible also says in the book of Revelation that all liars will partake of the lake of fire. Has anybody ever been burned before? Physically burned? Has anybody ever got third degree burns before? Nobody's been third degree burns. I've seen different cases. You can look it up on the internet what it looks like to get a third degree burn. Now, if anybody, this may sound crazy to you, but if you really think that you're getting away with your sin and you're going to live in deliberate sin, you might want to grab that hot iron, turn the oven up to broil, and grab onto that thing as hard as you can and hold on to it for a minute. And I'll tell you why, because you're not going to be just burn your hand for 1 minute. You're going to fry in that place for eternity and you're never going to get out. It's not a joke. God does not want anybody to go there. But if we refuse to obey him and we want to sleep around and have sex outside of marriage and smoke dope and hang around with people that do those things, then we have to go there because we chose not to obey God because we didn't take God serious. We got to take God very serious. Amen. And when you do take God seriously and you choose to obey him, you don't have to fear hell anymore, because you're going to go to heaven, which we're also going to talk about. So you want to take these things very seriously. Let's read this here. He says, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he's comforted here and you were in agony. So we know that agony is in hell and comfort is in Abraham's bosom, which again is an Old Testament type of heaven. He says, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come also to this place of torment. See, he mentions torment again. He says, look, Father Abraham, if I can't get any relief here in hell, if nobody's going to give me any kind of relief in this place, I know that my family is living in the same gross violation to the Abrahamic covenant that I was when I lived in this earth. Please send someone from the dead to my family so that they will repent. That's what he's saying. He says, I know that they're living in sin just like I was. If I can't get relief, please, I care about my family. So we know that people have memories in hell. They're going to remember the people that they loved. They're going to remember the people that they loved that didn't know about Jesus, and they're going to have that torment knowing forever that they'll also come to that place if they don't get a chance to repent, if nobody preaches it. But listen to this. It gets even more serious, because look at what Abraham replies. Listen very closely. He says, Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. In other words, he says, look, they've got the Word of God. Everyone say the Word of God. They've got the Word of God. Let them listen to them. And look at what the man that's in hell believes. He says, no, Father Abraham. He said, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. In other words, he's saying, look, my family's living in sin. It doesn't matter who preaches at them. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. They're not going to listen to the Word of God. They're not going to listen to any preacher. They're not going to listen to the law of God or the Spirit of God. Moses and the prophets. He says, but if someone rises from the dead, they're going to see that person. They're going to see a ghost, someone from the dead come to them. They're going to repent over it. He says this, Abraham says, if they didn't listen, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to the preacher, if they won't listen to the Word of God, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Now, this is not Luke's words. This is the Holy Spirit's words. This is God's words, which means this. If someone won't listen to the preacher, if someone will not listen to what the Bible says, it doesn't matter if Jesus himself, if God himself came down off the throne from heaven and appeared to you, you still wouldn't repent. That's what it means. So we want to take God's word very seriously, because if God says that it doesn't matter who rises from the dead, if you won't repent as a result of the preaching of the Word of God, then nothing's going to cause you to repent. Amen. So who has to go to hell? Those who live in deliberate sin, but more importantly, those who are not born again. If someone has never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if someone has never made a choice to turn from deliberate sin and give their whole heart to Jesus, then if they're not born again, they have to go to a place called hell. I also want you to notice we're talking about two realms of the underworld here. Abraham's bosom was a realm of the underworld, even though it was a place of comfort. And also hell. You see, hell has been there. It's been around for quite some time. And it is actually a spiritual being, hell is. It's a spiritual being that God created to be able to hold disembodied spirits that are wicked. The wicked dead. It's not a permanent place. It is not, hell is not a permanent place. Going over to Revelation chapter 20, I'll tell you and I'll explain to you that hell is not a permanent place. People that go to hell will not go to hell forever. They're going to get out of that place. But let me tell you something. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. Hell is a temporary place, and it is not a permanent place. The people will get out, and we'll see why they get out. And we're going to see that their torment gets even worse. Look at this here. We're going to go backwards in this chapter because we want to stick with the subject here. Verse 7 of chapter 20 of Revelation, he says this, when the 1,000 years are over, now we know according to this chapter we're going to go backwards because we're talking about the lake of fire now. And then we're going to talk about the bottomless pit. It says, when the 1,000 years are over, we know that Satan was locked away for 1,000 years. He was thrown into a bottomless pit. That's what happened in the beginning of chapter 20. And we'll see that as we go on. But when the 1,000 years are over, it says that Satan will be released from his prison. That's the bottomless pit. And will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Everyone say lake of burning sulfur. And translate that to the lake of fire, burning sulfur. Has anybody ever smelt sulfur? Has anybody ever been around a volcano? That rotten egg, that sulfur smell. Now, sulfur is poisonous. Extremely poisonous. Now, he says here, he says the devil who deceived him was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let's continue. So we know that once you enter into the lake of fire, you never get out of that place. That's a final judgment. You never get out of the lake of fire. It is an eternal fire. It's much, much worse than hell itself. Hell is a containing place. What hell is absolute separation from God. A lot of people think that this life is bad. I've run into a lot of people that think that we're in hell right now. We're not in hell. This is a very good place. We are not in hell. The reason things seem difficult at times, the reason things can be extreme at times, because there's a curse on this earth. Everybody look up here. There's a curse on this earth. There's a devil on the loose who's enforcing the curse upon those who rebel against God. And things can get very intense at times. Things can be very difficult. You see? So hell is a place where God is not... For people who do not want to obey Him and do not want Him in this life, He created a place for them that they can exist where God does not exist. Everything God created is good, the Bible says. Amen. It also says, do not be deceived, every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all He created. In other words, everything good, God chose to save us when He didn't have to do it. The Bible says God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He's slow to anger in the way. You know, He says this in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 2:4 and then 2 Peter 3:9, He says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to repent. You see, Peter said that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he said he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Speaking of what? About God's patience and His mercy. And His tolerance. He tolerates people in this fact right here. That He allows people, even Christians, He's not going to force them. He allows them to skip church. He allows them to show up to church late. He allows them to swear and cuss and do things they shouldn't do. And He's patient with them and He fully expects them to repent. He doesn't judge them right then. Because He's a merciful God. That's why He's merciful. He's merciful in the fact that He lets them do these foolish things. He lets them do things that are evil. He lets them set a bad example for other believers around them. He lets them do all sorts of things that they shouldn't be doing. He permits it because He's given them space to turn from the sin so He doesn't have to judge it because He doesn't want to. Amen. But if they continue on in rebellion against God's plan for them, and continue on, eventually he has to take His hand away and He has to let them reap what they sow, which is destruction. He doesn't want them to do it. He fully expects everyone, believer and unbeliever alike, whether they've ever heard his word or not, he fully expects them to look at creation and say, God did this, and then obey their conscience, obey their hearts, and turn from a lifestyle of sin instantly. He expects everybody to do it. And a lot of people run around, they think they should still be getting away with some things. Forget about it. That's just wickedness to think that way. What a merciful God that he didn't just destroy humanity right away. What a merciful God that he doesn't just strike down every sinner with lightning. He could do something like that if he wanted to, but he doesn't, because he won't do that. He's a merciful God. But what he does do is he gives them time. He's very patient. He allows them time and space to repent. But let me tell you something. Like I said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A lot of people think they're getting away with it, but the Bible says this. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. So just because some people, they reap it right away. Some people, they get away with it. And the reason they get away with it is because there's someone else standing in the gap, according to Luke 13, 1 through 10. Jesus said, they said, why, Jesus? Why does one man die over against another? He said, look. And he told them a parable. He said, there's a fig tree planted in a vineyard. He gave them this parable to describe them. There's someone making intercession for that soul. That's why some people get away with it. They don't die. Then you got another guy. He seems to do good deeds and stuff. And he slips on the ice. He falls down and cracks his head. He never doesn't seem to do anything wrong. Nobody stood in the gap for him. Amen. So you want to just do what is right and get it straight with God now. And not play games with him. And take him very seriously. We want to honor God. We honor God by showing up to church on time. We honor God by giving our tithes and offerings. We honor God by reading his word every day and taking it seriously. We honor God by not having sex outside of marriage and respecting his word and saying, yes, Lord, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. I don't want to be involved in that. Hebrews 13, 4 through 6. I'm not going to do that. We honor God by not gossiping and slandering our neighbor. James said, do not slander one another. Everyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When we judge the law, we are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. He said, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? That's how he says it. James 4, somewhere around verse 11 through 15. So now, we don't want to be gossiping and slandering. He says a lot of people become... He talks about widows, but this applies to anybody. You know, women have more of a problem with this than men, and he mentioned the women. Women like to talk a lot. And I know I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that. It's a fact. The Bible makes it very clear. He talks about women talking out of disorder in the church services. We've seen that in here. Anybody ever been here when the women interrupt the church service and scream out, Pastor Dan, anybody ever been here when that happened? It's happened multiple times. And every single time, well, not every single time, there was one drunk man that did it. And two drunk men. So drunk men like to interrupt services, but sober women were doing it. Amen? Now don't get mad at me. We love everybody equally. He says in Christ there's neither male nor female. We're all equal in the spirit realm. But there's a prospective role in the family unit. The male's built more for the front lines and the women's built more to take care of the children. And God expects it to stay in that order. Amen. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Nowadays, we see that they put the big picture out with the woman with the big arm on her and she had the thing and they wanted to work and so on and so forth. God has no problem with them working, you see. But he doesn't like it when things get out of order, out of their prospective roles. Whole other subject. We should talk on that too. Some people get mad about it. Doesn't make any difference because God said. So these are not my opinions. You just read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay? If anybody has contention about it, you can read about it in your Bible and get mad at God if that's what you want to do. Now, he says here, when they're thrown into the lake of fire, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is a final judgment. Hell is a temporary place. The people that are in hell right now will get out. They're going to get out, and I'm going to tell you when they're going to get out. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Now imagine this. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the book. So everything that people do is being recorded in books right now. Everything you do, every word you speak out of your mouth. Jesus said it's by your words you'll be acquitted and by your words you'll be condemned. People think that blah, 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 blah. They run around saying, yeah, I don't know how many, what did they say, 10,000 words a day or something like that? A lot of them are ungodly. The Bible says where words are many, sin is not absent, the Bible says. It's not absent. It says that in the book of Proverbs. So you want to be careful what we're saying, because Jesus also said, by your words you'll be acquitted, by your words you'll be condemned. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're saying out of your mouth is revealing what's in your heart. You say, well, that's not how I really am. That's just what I say. No, Jesus said that is how you are. That's what Jesus said. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. So he says that earth and sky fled from God's presence. There are books open. There's a throne and someone sitting on the throne. It's God the Father. And there's another book open called the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades, or hell, gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. They're judged according to what they'd done and judged according to what they had said. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And what he's really revealing to you here is the dead, the wicked dead that were in hell, everybody that was in hell that gets belched up after the 1,000 years is going to enter into the lake of fire. That's why I say hell is a temporary judgment. It's going to get worse. Once they get out of hell, they're going to stand before God. He's going to explain to them why he had to allow them to go to hell because they refused to obey him. He's going to tell them every single time the preacher preached to them and said, you need to come to church, you should be doing these things, you should be giving your tithes and offerings, you should obey God, you should obey everything in His Word. God's Word is to be taken literally. Obey it, obey it, obey God, obey God, obey God. The preacher kept preaching to you. Pastor Dan, he stood in front of you 1,000 times. He told you not to yoke yourself together with unbelievers. You play dumb and, I don't know, should I really get rid of all of them out of my life? I just don't know. Just play like you're dumb or something. Preacher said it 1,000 times, don't hang around with these unbelievers, they're going to take you to hell with them. It didn't take it seriously. He said it 50, 60, 70 times, God's going to reveal every single sermon, every single word that you heard anybody speak to you, over and over and over, kept telling you over and over. You're going to have to watch the whole thing, and you're going to have to, by the time he's done to you, you're going to go, you are right. I didn't listen to anything that you said, Jesus. Going to have to see it, and you're going to have all that regret for how dumb it was to disobey God. They're going to have this terrible regret. Terrible regret. And then they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire forever. And it says the lake of fire is a second death. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, that means they were not truly saved. It doesn't matter if they got born again at one time. If they went back into deliberate sin. We've seen Simon the sorcerer. It says he believed and was baptized. And just a few seconds later, he said that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. You see? So it doesn't take long to lose your salvation if your heart's not right. We know Ananias and Sapphira, they held back money from God. God got so mad about it that he judged them right there. They both fell over dead. You see? You see, why doesn't everybody fall over dead when they don't give their tithes and offerings? Because he's merciful. He's waiting for you to obey him. Now, death and hell were thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, who has to go to the lake of fire? Those in hell. Who has to go to hell? Those who disobey God. Bible says this, He will punish those who do not obey God and do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know God and they do not obey the gospel. The gospel. Like the gospel is Jesus rose from the dead. No, the gospel is your whole New Testament, the gospel. That's the gospel. Amen. They don't obey the gospel. They don't obey what? All of it. What He's really looking for is not your legalistic obeying of laws. What He's looking for is your whole heart surrendered to God's will for your life. And as a result of that, you will obey God. But so many are half-hearted, they just don't make a full surrender over to Him. We want to make sure we give a full surrender over to God. Our whole heart. That means every minute of every day. Because backsliders, people that go to church but live like hypocrites outside of church, will be judged way, way, way more strict than your average drunk out on the street that nobody ever preached at them. Why? Because they knew, He says, they knew the truth and turned their backs on it. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about that. He says a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to its wallowing in the mud. If there's anything I don't want to be is a dog that returns to its vomit. I don't want to be a sow that was washed from the mud and go wallow back in it. I don't want to be a spiritual sow. Amen? So hell is a temporary holding place. The people in hell will come out, and they will come out at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which we've been talking about. And at that point, the great white throne judgment is going to take place before the new heavens and the new earth. And they're all going to go to all the people that didn't have their names written in the book of life, which is everybody that was in hell, is going to go to the lake of fire, which is a second death, which is more severe than hell itself. If you can imagine hell, He calls that a place of torment, a place of agony. Lake of fire is worse than that. And then they're never going to get out of there. Never going to get out. It's eternal. That's why I keep telling you, don't live in deliberate sin. You're not going to get away with it. Because God says He watches, and He's got a way of making sure that it happens, that you do not make it into heaven. Because He's not going to be mocked. He hates it when people think they're getting away with it. He hates it. He despises it. When people think they're sneaking around, they come to church, they raise their hands, but at home they drink, they smoke, they sleep around, they have sex outside of marriage, they do all sorts of selfish acts, or they don't act right. And it could just be one sin that you will not let go of. You can let go of everything else, but you just won't let go of that one stronghold. You just won't let go of it. You won't stop slandering and gossiping and saying evil things. You won't stop doing it. You just refuse. You're just stubborn in your heart. You refuse to do it. And that will take you to hell. It's not worth it. Just let go of all the deliberate sin and give your whole heart to Jesus. All the deliberate sin. If you know, if God's dealing with you right now and you know, I know I shouldn't be doing this pastor. I know I shouldn't hang around unbelievers. I know I shouldn't hang around people that drink and smoke dope. I know I shouldn't do it, but I've been doing it all the time and I've been playing dumb. I know I shouldn't do this. I keep doing it. Then stop. Is it that hard to just stop? Just make the choice. Do you want to go to hell? Do you want to go to the lake of fire? You say you don't, but if you keep on doing it, then I don't believe you. I believe you want to go there. You do want to go there. Because if you don't want to go there, then you would stop at any cost, like Jesus said in Mark 9:43. He said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to enter life maimed, that's with one hand, than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. He said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He said, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He said, everyone will be salted with fire, he says. It's Mark 9, 43-50. What is he saying? He's saying anything in you that's causing you to sin, anything in your life that's causing you to sin, get it out of your life at any cost, including cutting off your own hands, feet, and plucking out your eye. Anything it takes, get it out of your life, because you don't want to go to hell. Amen. That's what he's saying. All you got to do is a full surrender. Just say, Jesus, I don't want to live in this sin anymore. Forgive me, Jesus. And you're, boom, if you died right then, you go to heaven. It's that simple. But you got to continue living that way all the time. He said you got to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow Him. So now let's talk about, we've talked about hell, we've talked a little bit about the lake of fire, we've talked about Abraham's bosom, that's three of them. Let's talk about the abyss, which is another realm of the underworld. The abyss is a realm of the underworld. Go to Revelation 20, verse 1 now. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the, what? Abyss. And holding in his hand a great chain, he seized the dragon. Now, I know we're going backwards, but this is with purpose, and you'll see. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, or the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving. Everyone say deceiving.
Deceiving.
The nations anymore until 1,000 years are ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So the abyss is a place where the devil goes. We often say he goes to hell, and it is a realm of the underworld. But in reality, the devil doesn't go to hell. He goes to a place called abyss, or it also translates the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. And it's a realm of the underworld, and it's a prison. And he's going to be locked in chains. And he's going to get out of that place. It's a holding place. Now, let's see a little bit more. Going over to Revelation chapter 11 and see some more about this bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 9. Listen here. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star. That star is actually an angel. We know that. I taught on this before. The star is an angel that had fallen from the sky to the earth. This star, this angel, was given the key. So this angel has a key. Everybody look up here. Look up here. This angel has a key in his hand. To the shaft of the abyss. So this abyss has a lock on it, and the angel has a key to open the abyss, which is a bottomless pit. When he opened this abyss or the bottomless pit, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. Now, we can make the conclusion very clearly that if smoke rises from this bottomless pit, apparently there must be something causing that smoke. Would you agree with me?
Amen.
And if smoke rises from the bottomless pit, like a gigantic furnace, we can make the assumption very easily that there's a major fire going on in this bottomless pit. Didn't tell us much in Revelation 20, but here it makes it very clear. But look what's contained in this bottomless pit. It's a holding place for some things. It says, smoke rose from the bottomless pit like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened from the smoke of the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. Everyone say scorpions. Anybody ever been stung by a scorpion? I've seen a scorpion. And you know, when I was in Mexico City, we went to Lomatlan and Tulcinco, which are smaller, poor towns around Mexico City, around in the mountains. And we went on a mission trip out in that area for 10 days. And when we threw the towels on the ground in the bedroom, and I picked up the towel, it had been a damp towel, and underneath there were these little, almost clear-looking yellow scorpions. And I thought, well, they don't look... I didn't want to touch it, obviously, but I thought, well, they don't look so scary to me. They're not like the black scary-looking ones. That's what I thought in my head. But later I found out that those are the more poisonous ones. The ones that don't look so poisonous. So just stay away from scorpions. Amen? But he says that these creatures that come out were like scorpions, it says. Like locusts, first of all. And then he says they had... Let's just keep reading here. It says here, out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm. Everyone say harm.
Harm.
the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people, I wouldn't say people. So we know that these locust, scorpion-type creatures that are located in this bottomless pit have the power to harm people. So anything I want, I'm a people, I don't want to be harmed. Do you want to be harmed? Don't want anything to do with that, so let's just obey God. It says they were, listen very carefully, it says they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, the people who had the seal of God on their foreheads would be people who had gotten born again after the rapture. Many backsliders, many people that go to church every week and live in deliberate sin. They read their Bibles, but at home they're hypocrites. They're not living according to God's word. They're living in deliberate sin. Many backsliders will get born again during the tribulation period. But as you know, tribulation means trouble. So if you think it's bad down here now, you can just imagine how bad it's going to be when the salt or the preservative, us, true believers of the earth, are removed. It's going to get very dark very quickly. It says this, they were not able to harm the grass or the plants or trees, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They did not have power to kill them, but only to torture. I wouldn't say torture. So we know they harm and torture people. Harm, torture people. For how long? For 5 months. Now, if there's anything I wouldn't want to do is be harmed or tortured for even 30 seconds or 10 seconds. It's not going to last one day. It's not going to last 2 days. It's not going to last a week. It's not going to last a month. It's going to last 5 months of torment and agony and suffering. Because you'll see why. Because if you read, you can look this up, Wikipedia, what it's like to get stung by a scorpion. He says the agony they suffered was like that when a man gets stung by a scorpion. It's going to be even worse than that. Now listen here. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. The agony they suffered was like that of a sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, people get delirious. They can't see clearly, and they feel like they can't get enough water and things like that. It gets very, very dramatic. It's bad suffering. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. They can try to kill themselves all they want for 5 months. They're not going to get away with it. They're going to take that punishment. They're going to reap what they've sown. It's going to happen to them. So we know that there's smoke. There's a fire burning beneath somewhere down in this bottomless pit, somewhere down in there, because there's smoke that rises like smoke from a gigantic furnace. We also know that there's spiritual creatures that are located in this place. We also know that the devil is going to get locked in that place for 1,000 years. And I will tell you this, that there's also the Grecian prince that empowered Alexander the Great's Grecian Empire during that time, which is Greece is a fourth kingdom to persecute Israel, the fourth Gentile nation to persecute Israel. It was a very powerful kingdom. The Grecian prince empowered Alexander the Great's kingdom. So within just 33 years of his life, Alexander overcame most of the known world at that time. Very quickly. He died at 33 years old. He was very young. And since that time, since that kingdom, the Grecian kingdom ended, Greece was overtaken by Rome. Since that time, the Grecian prince or the Grecian principality, we understand his principality's power, so on and so forth, that Grecian prince has been locked in this place called the abyss. And he gets let loose from the abyss, and he's going to empower the kingdom of the Antichrist. Let me read some other things to you. Now, you can go on over to go to Jude. There's many places we go, but we don't have a whole lot of time. Go on over to the book of Jude. And I'm going to read something to you. We got to make time here. Thank you. Now in Revelation 17, for those of you taking notes, you can read this at home. I'm just going to read it quick. I need you in Jude right now. But it says in Revelation 17, 8, the beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. And the beast that he's talking about is the Grecian prince that empowers the kingdom of the Antichrist. He empowers the Antichrist. So does the devil. He's got a lot of spiritual force behind it. And at the time of the Antichrist, he's locked and sealed in this abyss right now, along with those locust, scorpion-type creatures that are in Revelation 9. And this Grecian prince is going to get let loose at the time of the reign of the Antichrist, which is after the rapture. He's going to come up out of the abyss, and it says he goes to his destruction. He's going to go to his destruction. What's going to happen is he's going to skip hell too. He's going to go from the abyss to the kingdom of the Antichrist into the lake of fire with the Antichrist. You see? Now, I got you in Jude. So we're talking about the five realms of the underworld. So far we've done Abraham's bosom, which is Old Testament type of heaven, located in the underworld. It's next to hell. It's a comfortable place. There's no torment there. A lot of people believe, a lot of Bible scholars believe that God took Abraham's bosom and now expanded hell with the space that was there to hold all the wicked dead. You know, the Bible talks about hell expanding its gates and opening its mouth wide. He said in another translation in Isaiah 5:14, it says this: hell is licking its lips in anticipation and opening its mouth wide. The great and lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. That's what it says. So let's take a look at another realm of the underworld in the book of Jude. Verse 5, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt. Egypt was a type of sin. It was like the people getting born again. But later destroyed those who did not believe. That also can translate those who didn't obey God, according to the book of Hebrews. Now, the angels, everyone say angels.
Angels.
The angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. They disobeyed God. These he's kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Now this place where these angels that did not keep their position of authority, this is a whole other teaching. It would take me probably an hour to teach on it, why they're there. We've talked about the pre-Adamite creation and so on and so forth a little bit. But there's some angels. We know that a lot of these fallen angels, these principalities and powers, they're on the loose. But there are some of them that committed a specific sin and God has locked them in a place called Tartarus. Everyone say Tartarus. Now, Peter makes mention of the name. He doesn't make mention of the name here. But this is the same place. Tartarus is a holding place for wicked, angelic creatures that are bound in chains. Everyone say bound in chains. We've seen earlier that the devil's bound in chains in a place called the bottomless pit, which is a realm of the underworld. And here we see that there's angels that left their positions of authority bound in chains for judgment on the great day. Bound in chains. Now to see this, to make it clear that it is called Tartarus, going over to 1 Peter chapter 3. I just want to finish this since we're on it. I don't know if we'll ever come back to this or not. But he says this. Verse verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached the spirits in prison. Everyone say prison. Wow. Now that prison that he's talking about here is Tartarus, is what it is. You can look this up in your concordance. And it translates prison. Through whom also Jesus went and preached to the spirits in Tartarus who disobeyed long ago while God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Now, he said they left their positions of authority in Jude, but here he says they disobeyed, like I told you, right? So we know that disobedience is the reason why they ended up in this realm of the underworld called Tartarus, which is they're bound in chains. Do we know that they're in darkness? They're in a prison, which would mean it's a place of torment of some kind. We don't know the level of torment, but we do know that they're locked in chains. Has anybody ever been locked in chains? I've never been locked in chains before. Has anybody ever been locked in darkness? I've been locked in darkness before. Sister used to lock me in the closet. I scream and cry. It's a scary thing when you're a little kid. Could you imagine being locked in darkness in hell forever? With all sorts of screaming going on around you? That's a scary thing. Will you just obey God? I mean, let's just obey God. We don't want to go to that place. We don't want to go to hell. So we talked about, did I hit all five of them? I didn't count yet. Well, let's go through it. Abraham's bosom, which is an Old Testament type of heaven. In the underworld. We're talking about the five realms of the underworld. It's located next to hell. It was. Some people said it's been swallowed up by hell because now heaven is existing because Jesus, heaven is open, we should say. Because Jesus opened it up for us through His blood, His precious blood. We also know that there is a place called hell. It's a place where God does not exist. It is a place of torment and agony. It is a place of fire. It's not a pleasant place. Then we also found out that there's a place called the lake of fire. We found out that hell is a temporal place. The people in hell are going to get spit out at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. They're going to get judged at a great white throne judgment. Anyone's name is not written in the book of life. They're going to be judged according to the books. They're going to get thrown into the lake of fire. You've got Abraham's bosom, hell, lake of fire. We learned about a place called the bottomless pit where the devil's going to be locked away. In the place of the bottomless pit, we know that there's smoke that rises out of it, like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. We also know that there's locusts, scorpion-type creatures. We didn't get into it, but they got teeth like lions' teeth, hair like women's hair. They got a face like humans' faces. They got crowns of gold on their head. It also says they have breastplates, like breastplates of iron. It says the sound of their wings is like many horses and chariots rushing into battle. You're going to know they're coming. This is going to be a scary thing. These are literal creatures. Some people try to make it out and it'll be military equipment. I'm telling you right now, it is not military equipment. This is to be taken literally. Now, and we also just found out there's a place that's a holding place for wicked angelic class beings, we could say principalities or angels, that disobeyed long ago, they're bound in chains in a place called Tartarus. Tartarus, and it's a place of darkness. It is a prison. And we also know that there's chains in that place holding them in there. Amen?